My name is Jasmine Johnson. I work with Cody James and Chelsea Jones for this episode of Toxicology 436. We will be focusing on THC poisoning in domestic pets. Following this, you will hear an interview Chelsea conducted with Dr. Andrea Gentry, a registered vet and professor at North Carolina A&T, about her experience with THC poisoning. Cody James will later give you a brief synopsis of our research findings.
So, what are some of the clinical signs that occur in pets when they are under marijuana toxicity?
I feel like I'm in an exam currently. Under marijuana toxicity, they usually have some type of delirium, hypersalivation, or maybe some vomiting.
Okay. Have you yourself seen any cases of marijuana toxicity in pets? And if so, what was the worst case you've seen?
I've seen it, but it wasn't the worst case. It was a very acute case, meaning the dog really had just eaten it and come in without any clinical signs, so we induced vomiting.
Okay, so what are the main symptoms of marijuana toxicity that show relative similarity to other toxicity in pets?
The vomiting, anything that's an irritant to the stomach, is definitely going to be consistent with a lot of other toxicities, as well as just neurological signs. So they'll seem disoriented, they'll seem a little out of sorts, they won't really seem like they're here, per se, especially when it comes to something that affects the nervous system.
Okay. So what do you think are the major differences between inhalation and ingestion when it comes to toxicity?
Especially when it comes to THC, inhalation, especially like from a secondhand source, isn't as bad as direct ingestion. They definitely can show both clinical signs, but the inhalation route, usually via secondhand, is less noticeable when it takes a lot more than if a dog finds someone's bag of marijuana and eats it. Because now you also have a foreign body because you have the plastic that it was wrapped in, as well as the chunk of however much it is that they've now ingested. And depending on when the owner catches it, if they are already partaken in the marijuana, then they may not catch it until clinical signs are pretty advanced. And it just depends on the toxic dose and how much they ate. But most of the time, I had a friend of mine who works in an emergency clinic. She said she had one, they had no idea how much she ate.
Okay, so what do you believe is a form of treatment for marijuana toxicity in pets?
Besides, depending on when they ingest it, you can induce vomiting. Charcoal will block the absorption of the THC in the system. So charcoal will pretty much line the intestines and pretty much block the intestines' ability to absorb the THC, as well as fluids and monitoring.
Okay. Do you believe that owners should be held accountable for toxicity in pets following the unintentional consumption?
That's a loaded question. Especially when it comes to THC, I used to think yes, but let it be unintentional? No. And then you also have to consider there are some states that now have legalized marijuana. So having it in the house is no longer illegal. So you have to think about some dogs that accidentally get into antifreeze, some dogs that accidentally get into rat poison. That's not on purpose. Like, my mom's dog found a rat poison cake underneath the deck, and he went and he ate it. And we were out there scrubbing teeth and inducing vomiting and everything else. So, no, I don't think it should be at the fault of the owner.
And lastly, have you seen any cases where THC and pets have benefited the animal and no harsh side effects occurred from?
No. I haven't personally, no. You see a lot now with aromatherapy, but that's not the same.
That's it.
With further research, we also learned that the minimum lethal dose orally for dogs is 3 grams per kilogram. Symptoms typically begin within 60 minutes and can last for several hours depending upon the amount consumed. Also remember that with THC, it affects the central nervous system, liver, brain, and kidneys. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Toxicology 436.